blessings over you today. I pray this week would be a week of favor in your life. And I pray somehow there would be a sense of progress, growth in your maturity and in your spiritual purpose. Somebody say, I have destiny. I know churches can talk a little bit too much about destiny, and we can almost every service talk about destiny, but you must understand that your creation was not accidental, and your giftings were not random. It was according to God's will, therefore you have destiny. Can some church folks say yes? All right, I'm going to read from Joshua chapter number 10. I'm doing part two of a message I started last week entitled Why We Don't See Miracles, and I confessed that that title was very hooky. It was made to hook you. We actually do see miracles, but oftentimes critics of faith want to point out that we haven't the ability to demonstrate miracles as a rebuke to criticism. God works among us, but without faith, you cannot perceive. God blesses, but without faith, you cannot receive. This is why to a critic, to an outsider, to a doubter, they would say, because you haven't scientific ability to produce a miracle in a moment as a reproof to my criticism, then you do not see miracles. And I'm trying to use that question, that set of ideas, to talk about understanding authority, understanding power, understanding prayer, intercession, and understanding word of faith and our ability to speak it. So we're reading Joshua chapter 10, verse number 22. I'm in the New King James Version. Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. There's five kings locked in a cave. Why are they in the cave? Because they've been defeated in battle. They've been defeated by Joshua and the host of Israel, and they have fled the battlefield. They are hiding in a cave together. Joshua says, bring them out. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon. So it was when they brought out these kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. Put your feet, I'm going to need you to say this with me, put your feet on the neck of these kings. Some of y'all didn't know this story was in the Bible. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. Then Joshua said to them, now, this is the part you know. This is the part we all quote to each other. How many of you want to say it with me? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight, in Jesus' name. Lord, help me to communicate your word with hope. Help me not to in some way communicate it with a heart of dismissiveness or casualness, but Lord Jesus, help me to convey it in a manner that people can relate to it and take it with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's get started here today. The first thing you need to understand is that it is normal for people of faith to seek the miraculous as the demonstration of God's presence with us. When we pray for miracles, we are not doing things wrong. We're doing things right. Somebody say yes. We sometimes receive miracles that are demonstrative in their display. They can be used to silence foes of God's people. They can be used to awaken revival among God's people. They can be used as blessing. They can be used as judgment. God will do whatever it is God wants to do when God wants to do it. Miracles are part of God's demonstration in the world of his presence. He created the laws that exist. And so when the laws that exist are held to their consequences, he is not wrong. He is the one who spoke these things into being, and therefore they are. However, God uses the breaking of law and the refuting of consequences as a sign of his presence, his favor, and his gifts among his children. Therefore, we as a church will always pray for healing, and yet we will always need to pray for healing. Did you understand what I just said there? We will live in the tension between our increasing needs and our seeking of the demonstrative, miraculous illustration of God's power among us. We are not wrong to do so. When a saint of the Lord passes, it is not a defeat of faith. People who see it that way have a very shallow view of God's purpose over time, and they have sacrificed God's eternal purpose for their temporal need, want, or desire. It's appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. And so when a saint of God goes to their reward, it's not a defeat of faith. Rather, it's beautiful in the sight of the Lord. Am I at the right church here today? It's beautiful in the sight of the Lord. Was it wrong to ask for healing? No, we are people of faith. And what do? We present our lives as evangels, as epistles known and read of men. God, I am facing this. I'm dealing with that. I am hurting here. If it would so please you to use my life as testimony, I desire the demonstration of your presence, promise, and favor upon my life. And can somebody say amen? If it would so bless your kingdom to use this answer that I am requesting for the glorification of your purpose, then use my life as a canvas upon which to draw the beautiful demonstration of grace and power and love. Use my life for that purpose. However, if it be your will that this is my time of heavenly reception, then I come with praise on my mouth, and I come with joy in my heart. Because after all, my temporal perception of your purpose can never trump your eternal purpose for the kingdom, the church, and the believers. We are not wrong to ask, and we are not defeated when we are not granted miraculous intervention. We are even so living examples of the miraculous even when our time comes. So how can we address this issue of seeking the miraculous? The worst thing you can take away from a Bible study like this is an algorithm whereby you can command God. That is the single worst way to take away a message on faith or a teaching on the miraculous. You are not here to have God serve you. You are here to serve God. Therefore, the weakness, there's a lot of good in the Word of Faith movement. It's not all bad. Like everything, it has good and bad. I don't speak as one who judges or one who perceives myself to be better. There's good and bad about me. Some people can't put up with my weaknesses, and so they leave. But it's okay, because God says we'll fill their pew with somebody who needed your strengths. It's okay. So when I use Word of Faith movement as a critique, I'm not saying we're better. I'm simply saying the Word of Faith movement can act in some way as though God serves them rather than they serve God. I present my life as a tapestry upon which God can weave his testimony, his victory, and his glory. Knowing that I am appointed to die, and that's okay, because God has been preparing a place for me that where he is, there I might be. And so we, in order to understand God's demonstration of the miraculous among us, we first have to have a heart of surrender. If you do not have a heart of surrender, it's not that God will not do things for you. God may. It's not that God will not use your life as a, how shall we say, an art piece to demonstrate his power. He may. I've seen new converts who had no spiritual maturity at all receive a miracle. Why is that the case? Because God may use your life. even if you do not have a surrendered heart. The difference is because you cannot control it, and because you cannot direct it, and because you must always be the recipient of it and not the commander of it, God's blessing may be experienced in your life as not just blessing, but also trial, because God refuses to serve you. However, if you surrender your heart to God, you can still believe for the miraculous. You can still pray. Is there anybody here today? You can still pray for the healing. And it is not a trial for you, come what may, sunshine or storm. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Yes, hallelujah.
I'm praying for the miraculous. I can't command God. I can submit to God. God may use me. He may also use my brother. Either way is okay. It is well. Submission is the first necessary step to positioning yourself for the miraculous. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will. I am positioning myself for the miraculous by starting with submission. If God gives you the blessing you seek, praise be to God. If God lets you become rather than possess, what do I mean by that? Sometimes the blessing is not the money in your pocket, but the person you became on the way to having the money. And that's good preaching. You may not get it, but that's some fine preaching. When my wife's not here, I have to compliment myself, y'all. Whatever the blessing may be, submission positions me to receive and not be harmed, not be offended, not be confused. And so after that, you must understand the difference in power and authority. Because although you have authority in your sovereignty, you have the right to open the door of your heart or leave it closed. That's authority. Now, you don't have the power to keep it closed. God could thump it down whenever he wants to, but he respects your authority. He respects your sovereignty. You do not have to repent of your sins. A day will come when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, but that's power. Until then, you have sovereignty. We call that authority. You can invite God to work in your life or not. You can celebrate his presence in your life or not. That is your authority. With your mouth, you can praise him or not. With your lips, you can confess his miraculous power or not. That is authority. Imagine a small, small child who happens to have a pet gorilla. And the gorilla loves this child. And the gorilla will do whatever the child says. And you go into a room full of troublemakers, stirrer-uppers of troublicious instances. And here's the child. And the child doesn't have the power, but if the gorilla obeys the child, the child has the authority, and the gorilla has the power. Imagine the smallest police man or woman telling you to do something. They haven't the power, but they are able to call up the power they have in the moment authority. Have you given God access to every part of your life? Have you taken your troubles and laid them out before the Lord and say, Lord, I would like to make a donation to your power team. You can do it. I accept your decision. I may be growing through this. I'm probably growing no matter what. I may be becoming through this. But the first thing, the healthy thing, the smart thing is to lay it down and give it to you. If it be your will, we will walk in your will. But if it be your will, we will rejoice in your power. I have positioned myself for the miraculous. When I try to step into the role of ordering God or debating with God, and I, just as much as any of you, have debated with God, I have had some arguments with the Lord, and he was not impressed with any of my arguments, but that did not stop me from making them with great verve And no small eloquence, I would like to say, in complimenting myself. He was not impressed, and he went on to do his will. And thank you for choosing your will over my desires. Authority is when you stand in the representation of someone else's power. Here in this picture of kings in a cave, you see these kings that have fought a battle against the children of Israel, and they have been defeated, and they have fled from this defeat. They are now hiding in a cave, and they are discovered there, and they're brought out. And it would be traditional in the traditions of the time. It would be traditional for Joshua, the commander of the host, when accepting their surrender, to have them kneel, to even prostrate themselves, and in the tradition of the time, to place his foot on their neck as a sign before his armies. Now, what typically happened at this moment was a type of demonstration and celebration. And when their commander would have the enemy prostrate before them, and I should really do a, I should do an illustration, have someone come up here and lay down on the floor and let me put my foot on their neck. I think that's a great idea, don't you? Maybe not so much, but they would have this, and before their army, they did this before their army. They did this before their army. They put their feet on the neck of the defeated king, and what did the army do? The army cheered. The army celebrated. The army clapped their hands. The army did whatever they did in their fight culture. They might clatter their swords on their shields. They might stomp in unison. They might all shout in a certain style and tone with a certain poise or posture. All of these are true to the quote-unquote fight cultures of armies. But what they didn't do is come up and stand in the role of the commander and put their foot on the neck of the enemy. This is a picture of God not simply wanting you to celebrate his victory. I hope somebody hears me today. This is a picture of God wanting you to be a part of his victory, to feel a sense of ownership of his victory, not just to praise him. Praise is important. Praise is the air we breathe. Praise is the it's the wind beneath our wings, so to speak. It's good. I'm not against praise. Don't misunderstand. But it's not simply enough for you to stand as Christ is the victor. God wants you to stand in his victory, not just as one who celebrates, but as one who participates. That is why we pray, because we're not just a celebrator of his power, we are a participator in his victory. That's why God wants you to speak a word of faith. That's why God wants you to pray in his name for the sick and see the healing of them. God looks for intercessors, not just to stand in the distance and say, won't he do it? Of course, he will do it. God wants you to be a part of that which he will do. And so he's looking for someone to rep his power, because by surrendering your sovereignty to God, you are now able to participate in his power. Oh, praise God, somebody. And so this example is very important for the Canaanite kings here in Joshua chapter number 10. And I would like to point out something that is a small detail, but I think maybe will spark it in your heart, a deeper understanding of the imagery that is happening here. Joshua and Jesus are the same name. Jesus is just another way to say Joshua. We say just English pronunciation of Jesus, but Joshua in Jesus is the same name. It's the same name. And so Joshua in many ways becomes a type of Jesus Christ, whether it is leading them to victory, whether it is taking them into the promised land, what Moses, the law, could not do. Is anybody hearing me? Christ is able to do. The law could not do. Christ, oh, praise God, is able to do. He is the image, the type, the example, and in the same prophetic eschatological insight, this is Joshua with his foot on the neck of the enemy, and not just standing there for praise to be offered, but standing there and then including the whole house that is praising and worshiping and saying, I have done it, but now I want you to do it. I want you to come and you to put your foot on the neck of the enemy. The seed of the woman. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. The serpent will bruise the heel, but the seed, the son, will bruise the head. The reason why you are invited into a miracle economy, if you'll allow me to say it that way, is because God wants to include you in the victory he has already purchased at Calvary. Therefore, God is looking for somebody he can work through. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But if he's already going to do it, why are we praying it? Because prayer is about us being transformed and therefore made to be included in what the kingdom of God is being brought into. On and on and on, God is limiting himself to work through people. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. Doesn't God want to harvest more than we do? Doesn't God seek to gather the harvest more than we seek? Somebody say yes, yes, and yes. So why are we praying for harvesters? Because God has decided to include you in the victory over Lucifer. Through Lucifer's trickery, I'm almost done, musicians, you can come. Through Lucifer's trickery, we were deceived into trading our sovereignty away. Through the cross, we are able to regain our sovereignty, and rather than hold it for ourselves or have it taken away through deception, we're able to give it to God to aid him in this kingdom he is building. That's why I'm almost done. We pray for laborers because God wants there to be a testimony, not just of his power, but of your sovereignty. I give it to God. I once was lost in trespasses and sins. My choice had been tricked away by the original con artist of eternity. I had lost it, but my Savior regained it and placed it in my hands. And as an act of love said, just as you were able to choose then. I'm doing a good job preaching this. Yeah, I am. I beat up on myself a lot of times. Not today. I'm doing a good job. I'm doing a better job preaching than you're doing, amen. I just want to say that for the record here. Love you guys. Y'all are awesome. Thanks for putting up with my crazy personality. You lost your sovereignty. God regained it. What did he do? Love story. Love story. He gave it back to you. There's something to be said about if they love you, they will come back. So the ultimate test of love is to let go. Now, I'm not trying to give marriage advice. That's complicated. Sometimes there's healing that needs to happen before you let each other go. You know what I'm saying? If you let each other go and you're hurt, guess what? That may not be the same story. That's a different story. But there is something to be said about him winning the battle, giving it back to our hand. And today, we get to choose again whether or not we are included in his purpose. You see, God's going to do the work, but he's going to do it with people. And if we don't want to be involved, he's going to find somebody who wants to be involved. If I don't want to pray, that's not going to end God's kingdom. It's just going to change the flow of spiritual potential as he flows around me. I've become an island of self-centeredness, an island of rebellion again. And he flows around me to someone else who says, here am I, Lord, send me. Yes. You've got to go. You got to say what I tell you to say. Do not say you're too young, Jeremiah. I choose you. It's a love story. And Almighty God's on heaven saying, I choose you. Will you go? And will you speak? I choose you. Will you go? Will you speak? And we say, love story, yes, Lord, I choose you. I will go. I will speak. And that's why in your life, you submit your will to God and you speak the miraculous. You thank God for his powerful touch. You pray prayers of intercession over people in need. You rebuke the powers of the enemy. He chose you. You choose him. Stand with me all across the house. Lord Jesus, I pray for every individual that's here today. I pray that we would have a confidence within us after we have made right our hearts, after we have our sins repented, after we have prepped ourselves through praise, worship. We stand in the hope of this truth. You chose us. First, you chose us. It was an ultimate act of divine love. You chose us. And we stand in that love. And we stand in the freedom of that love. We don't have to choose you. That's what we mean by the freedom that is in Christ. He repurchased our sovereignty and he gave it back to us. And we stand in that freedom. But Lord, as an act of love, we respond to your love and we choose you. And we say, of your kingdom, let it be demonstrated through me. We say of miracles, let them be distributed through me. We say of victory, let victory flow through me, oh God. We say my life as your pen. So write this story to all the people that we love. How many of you have a situation you'd like to pray over right now? Anyone, lift your hand. First, let's pray for others, then we'll pray for ourselves. Lord Jesus, you know every unspoken request represented in this house. You see up every hand that was lifted. You see and hear the names that are being spoken right now by individuals who are praying specifically for people through whose lives they are seeking to see miraculous touch. Lord, we choose you. Show us your way. Show forth your power among your people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now we're going to pray for others. First thing I want to do is we're an altar culture church. If you'd like to come down to the front, actually any time during the service, whether it's the worship set, unless we're just taking care of some type of business and there's like a baby dedication or something like that, anytime you have a need, you don't have to wait for permission. You can just step out and come down to the front. There's a reason the pastors sit close. Because we'll meet you right here at any time in the service. They can be singing about grace and you're thinking about judgment. Come on down here. We'll pray for you in the middle of a grace song and you're afraid of judgment. We don't mind. We're an altar church. We also know there's people that aren't comfortable down in the mosh pit. It's okay. We're going to do this today. If you have a need in your life, just step out to the end of your pew. Make sure that we can see you in the aisle. We're going to pray for the people that's here in the front, but our pastors will also look for who is in the aisle. And rather than just having you come to us, we'll come to you. Our worship team is going to lead right now. If you're visiting, you can be dismissed at any time. But if you have a need, don't be afraid. This is your altar. We're your pastors. We're here for you. We're not trying to manipulate you into anything. If you don't want to come, don't come. If you need prayer, step out into the aisle. Let's turn this whole house into a place of worship right now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to First Church Charlotte. If this podcast has blessed you, please rate it with 4 or 5 stars. By doing so, you will help others find our free podcast and bless them. If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, come worship with us at 4929 North Sharon Amity Road. For information about service times, church ministries, and so much more, visit us online at firstchurchclt.com. If you would like to help support our efforts, please text GIVE to 704-445-5353. We pray God's richest blessings to you. Come, worship with us.